a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies. And this is the Deck the Lifetime Uncorked podcast.
Oh, man. 2 weeks in a row, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
Knocking it out of the park, buddy.
That one was pitch perfect, too. The last one will give to me, but it was one we nailed. Like we had practiced it beforehand.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Yep. Not only that, that little groove of the theme song is really catchy.
It is really nice, especially when you are smack dab in the middle of a 10-episode week here on Deck the Hallmark. It's nice to have a break from just the pep. It's got a little
groove.
Just
to
a little groove. Yeah. Just to get you going. Big week over here. Yeah. Big week over there. Patrick covering all the Lifetime movies on lifetimeuncorked.com. How are you holding up,
man? You caught up?
I am caught up. Well, I paused the Tia one because it was a little boring. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to watch this right now. So I did like half of the Tia and Smokey Robinson one. And yeah, they were pretty good this weekend, I think. I can't remember now. It's only been like a couple of days, but you know, holiday weekend, like socializing as well. So
yeah,
trying to have a life while watching Christmas movies. It's difficult.
But you're a busy boy, because I keep up to date with the Lifetime Uncorked because I like to read what you're writing about the Hallmark ones as well, because I just think you're funny. And you're doing a lot. You had a busy weekend, so it's just good to know that there's other people in the trenches.
That's
with
right.
us, you know,
because I thought I was just like in a world of hurt all by myself. On Sunday, we watched 6 movies and did 6 episodes, and my brain felt like it had turned to mush. I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore.
Right. It's all about that content, you know, but like the people are here, they're watching the movies along with us. So
how many movies do you think you watched?
For you.
How many movies did you watch over the whole weekend, you think? Over like Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving through Sunday.
Thanksgiving, because I did the murder ones too. So probably about at least 10.
Wow.
At least.
Man.
Wait, so Lifetime's got murder ones going on right now as well? Over on their other network?
Called Sleigh Bells.
Oh my goodness. They're murder Christmas movies?
But that's over on like Lifetime Movie Network, is
Lifetime
that right?
Lifetime Movie Network, yes. So they do like Hateful and Grateful for Thanksgiving, and now we're into Sleigh Bells, which is S-L-A-Y, Sleigh.
I love them so much. I love them so much.
I'm here for that.
They're fun. And there might be a surprise coming in Sleigh Bells. So I'll let you know probably next episode.
What does that mean?
I don't know. There might be someone you know in Sleigh Bells, featured in Sleigh Bells.
Oh boy. This
Sleigh
is big
Bells.
Time. Here for
Sleigh
it.
Bells ring. I'm listening.
Got him.
We're doing fine.
I will say this.
I think, Dan, I was giving it some thought. I think we 6 is one too many from a quality standpoint.
We've never done 6 in
a day. I think the 6th episode last night was maybe the worst episode we've ever done in the history of
Deck the Hallmark. Recorded a deck that we were just like, and this happened. Wow. This happened. Let's do it.
And we were just wrong about a lot of stuff. So I think
we missed content wise. His synopsis, somebody, the double deckers who can watch us live, BrambleJamPlus.com, they were like, did he watch the same movie we watched? And it was the 6th one of the day. And it was the third. We watched 3, record 3, watched 3, record 3. So like, it was the 3rd we had recorded after the 6th we had watched. And I just, like, we missed we missed huge chunks of the movie. Like, where we just, you know, it was the forgetful one.
Time for them to come home.
And we were like, how'd she get a phone? How'd she have money? And they're like, the nurses gave her money.
Very clear.
And the sheriff gave her a phone. And we're like, we didn't know that information. I will say this. I was watching a couple of the films that we watched yesterday. I was thinking during the entirety of their run, at least 2 of them, I was like, man, I was watching Reba McEntire instead right now. That's what I wish I was doing, because these are terrible and Reba's presence alone would be better than what I'm currently watching. So please tell me that that's the case.
Well, let's find out. Let's dive into the movie. Patrick, you're going to walk us through. I will chime in from here and there to give some more some more words.
You're going to chime in from there.
No, occasionally. I will say I'm mainly going to do it from here.
Okay, fair.
But every once in a while, I'm going to pop over there.
Okay.
And it's going to be wild. And then at the end, Dan, I feel like you will have a pretty good grasp on the movie, and you'll be able to pour it up or put a cork in it.
Miles better than watching it.
Patrick, let's do this thing.
All right. So we have Reba McEntire's Christmas in Tune.
Reba.
Reba is here. We finally made it. It's like a big event. And let me tell you, I live tweeted this one. Did I? I did. And I also live tweeted the Kelly Rowland one. And let me tell you guys, Kelly Rowland knows who I am because she was quote tweeting me all night long.
Look so at this.
I'm one step closer to Beyonce.
I mean,
so we're getting there. We're getting there. But Reba was also not online live tweeting. She was performing a concert in like Oklahoma at the same time. And she like tweeted like, I'm not going to be here on Twitter because I'm performing because I'm a real legend. And I'm a star.
That's right. Yeah. Now, is Reba McEntire's Christmas in Tune? Is there any way that's spelled T-O-O-N and this is a cartoon of some sort or no?
I wish. That would be hilarious. Reba's like Bugs Bunny with in the drag, you know, wearing the little like wig.
It's actually like Space Jam. Like 10 minutes into the movie, she goes into the cartoon world to try to save the concert. I don't know. I don't hate this idea. Let's keep brainstorming this after the episode.
Keep it going. Yeah. So the movie stars Reba McEntire, of course, John Schneider, who I think is from this is before my time, but like what's that thing with the car? Oh, I forgot already. Dukes of Hazzard.
Sure.
Yeah, he was in Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I know him from. Yes.
Yeah, he's the Dukes of Hazzard person because I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go. And apparently, he has a prolific singing career that I didn't know about. So
you got me there.
He did after Dukes of Hazzard, because spoiler alert, he sings in the movie.
He does.
We also have Candace King. Woot woot. Justin David, whoever they are, but I decided to say them in the actors. They're probably the young people. Okay, so the movie delivers exactly what you'd want from a Reba McEntire from the get-go, which we love. We get Reba singing directly to camera like she's shooting a music video, which she actually is in the movie. And she is playing a famous musician named Georgia Winters.
Yes.
Mm, yes.
She's not playing Reba, despite what the title of the movie might make you believe.
No. This is like a Debbie McComber's situation.
Sure. Sure.
Yes. And despite what refer to her as Reba in our recap today, I'm only going to refer to her as Reba. So Georgia Winters, you're dead to me. Reba is always going to be Reba. I'm sorry.
More than fair.
And I will say, as somebody who is not a country music fan and doesn't really have any relationship prior to this movie with Reba, I've never seen the Reba show. I've heard a couple Reba songs, but whatever. Right out of the gate, I was like, ooh, this is good. I really, she was singing up on the housetop, rooftop, whatever.
She can sing, man. And, she's got a great voice.
Click, click, yes, was what I was saying to that. It was real good. I don't know.
It was great. Very, you know, she's like in her sparkly outfit. She's got like the good lighting. There's like little snow behind her. Like
she's winks, really going she for She winks the, at the camera. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Very charismatic. And I also am not too familiar with Reba. I looked up to see if the Christmas music from this movie is available on Spotify. It is not. People have been like DMing me like, where do I get the soundtrack to this? This is a great, because there's many songs in this movie. Doesn't exist, but I did find Reba singing my favorite Christmas song. I'm going to play just a little clip for you guys here. And I want you to see A, what the Christmas song is, and B, if Reba is like, so, oh my God, my outlook is going crazy. I don't know if you can hear that. All right, so here we go.
When one day ruled the nations, did you know that your baby boy is...
Okay, all right. That's enough for copyright. I don't want to get in trouble.
It looks like you upgraded your tape recorder there, Patrick. Which is nice.
Well, I did it on my phone this time because you made fun of me so last time.
I'm sorry. Your favorite Christmas song is Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah, absolutely. Specifically performed by Jessica Simpson.
Wow.
You're the one person that I know.
Are you doing a bit right now, or is this real life?
Here's what I love about Mary, Did You Know? I love that somebody's like, hey, Mary, did you know all this? Like, hey, girl, did you know? Like, that is so rude. Of course, Mary knew. She's the mom. Like, how does she not know?
But the answers are resounding yes.
Yeah. I turn back a chapter in Luke. You'll find out pretty quickly.
That's the part of the bit is the angel of the Lord tells her these things.
Exactly.
The answer is yes. It's yes.
So the song, whoever the voice of the song is, I just picture like a sassy gay being like, hey, Mary, did you know? Did you know?
I believe the author of that song is Michael English, I believe is his name. And I could see that like being the vibe.
Mary, before I let you go.
Just a few quick things that we need
thanks to. Thanks for mansplaining to me, sir.
In question form. In question form, Mary just sits there and lets the man talk and be like, yes, yes, I did know all of that information. Be along your way now, sir.
It's just great. So, you know, and then Jessica Simpson, you know, her singing any Christmas song is over the top. So I can really like get my vocal range going. So there you have it.
That is news.
I know we got a lot to do here and not a lot of time to do it, but is the love for Jessica Simpson singing an ironic love or? Yeah.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah,
totally.
Okay. Yeah.
Totally. Just, I want to make sure we're all on the same page here that I didn't miss a memo where like she's actually good.
I've never thought Jessica Simpson was good.
Yeah.
I always thought Jessica Simpson was entertaining.
Yes.
To me.
More than fair.
And pretty. She's pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Absolutely.
Okay. So back to the movie. So Reba was once a part of a music country duo with her ex-husband, Joe, who now does like wedding band singing. Like that's what he does. Oof. And he's like a songwriter, like a country songwriter. He writes for Miranda. He writes for Casey. He writes for all the young, hot talent.
Yes. He has a prolific writing career.
Mm. Wow.
Yes. And they both have a daughter. Her name's Bella, and she is in event planning, marketing, something that doesn't really matter. But she is tasked, Bella, to plan the snowball for the military. So we're getting the troops in here, of course, because this is a tie-in. Lifetime had, like, you could donate to the troops, like, during commercial breaks. Like, you could support the troops somehow. So that's what Bella's doing. She's planning this whole thing. And they're like, hey, you know what would be great? If you got your mom and your dad to like reunite for the snowball, for the troops.
I mean,
like,
come on. It's for the troops.
It's for the troops.
You got to do it. So they like FaceTime like the daughter, and Reba and Joe are talking on FaceTime, but like also like fighting on FaceTime. And the daughter's like, oh, why do I have two devices open right now? This is like really strange.
I do want to know how that was working because like my FaceTime is connected with my phone and it also is connected on the computer, but I don't think I could double FaceTime. Like if I'm FaceTiming on my computer, I don't think I could do it on my phone, but she could. So maybe they were using a different thing.
Yeah. You know, she could be on Zoom on her computer and FaceTime on her phone.
Yeah. Okay. So it does seem like a lot of work, but good on her.
Right.
Seems like a ton of work.
And Bella's like, oh no, my parents are fighting. Oh, this is so awkward. My childhood is like flashing before my eyes because, you know, they like broke up when she was pretty young and they wrote a Christmas song about her called like Christmas Bell, obviously.
Classic.
Bell. And they sing it later. But the key thing to point out about Bella and her work is that she has an assistant named Darnessa. Like Vanessa with a darn in front of it.
Darn.
Vanessa.
But despite the name, she's the best assistant she's ever had.
Wow.
And the only one. But she is the best, Darnessa.
Yes, the only one. It's just like the name was so funny to me. And the character doesn't even matter to the plot at all. But I just wanted to say.
But Darnessa.
Darnessa, you killed it. Good job, Darnessa. Love that name.
Darnessa.
So we get the love interest for Bella. His name is Troy. He is, of course, in the military and hot AF. And he just comes in. He's like, hey, how's the planning going? Are you going to get your parents together? And she's like, swoon, like we're old high school, like love interest.
So they know whatever. Each other from
yeah.
before.
They do. Yeah.
Okay.
They go back.
Really know. I guess maybe he's like a representative from the Snowball who's basically like tasked with making sure everything's going well. He's is that in, why he's hanging?
In the military, but he's a representative of the...
But the Snowball is put on by the military for the like kids of the military. I don't know. He's there. He's hanging around all the time. That's all that I know. And I believe it's because of the Snowball, but I'm not entirely sure why.
Something with the Snowball. Basically, they're like the romance B-plot.
Yeah.
But... It was unnecessary. We didn't need it.
Everything stands in the shadow of Reba, right?
Yes. Yeah. Give me more Reba. I don't care about Bella and Tony, but I need to let you know that they're there because they're there.
I will say, though, I thought Bella and Tony had some cute little moments.
Sure. I would have just wanted them to have their own movie. I don't need them to be in Reba's movie.
No. That's fair. I actually did quite like them together, but I do agree. Like, they took away from Reba being Reba.
Exactly. Too much romance for me. Okay. So Bella comes and talks to her mom and Reba's like, no, hell no, I'm not doing that. And then she's like, but it's for the troops. And Reba's like, okay, it's for the troops.
Gets you every time.
And Joe also agrees. So then Joe and Reba finally meet. They like get to the studio to like, I don't know, have a meeting. And we get all our like Reba references here. Like, Joe's like, fancy to meet you here.
No.
Georgia? Yes.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, and they say it multiple times in the movie. Fancy to see you here. Fancy.
Yeah, I do think, every time they go on stage, he starts by saying, fancy meeting you here. And and she says, fancy meeting you here, too. And I think it was something they used to do, like the way that they used to start all their sets. But I don't really feel like they gave us that information. We are just supposed to.
It's also clearly a more than a sly wink. Like it's.
But overt. Every time they go on stage, which is a couple times in this movie, that's how they start the set. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And I'm like, is she going to sing fancy? Like, okay.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for that. Yeah. That's fine. But she doesn't. She does not. Joe and Reba start bickering right away. They like start taking little jabs at each other and it's like flirty fighting, you know? So we like that. It's not like they're being like savage to each other or anything. But they're like trying to figure out the set list and like, you know, oh, you used to sing this line when we performed back in the day. And you know,
I will say it is mainly flirty fun, but there is one jab that I caught me off guard where they're talking about the donuts. Do you remember this, Pat? And they're saying like the donut shop that we used to go to was really close to the house. And she's like, no, it wasn't as far away. And then he's like, you really like those donuts. And she's like, you liked them too. And then he says, but you were the one that was round or something like that. Was he calling Reba fat because of the donuts?
How dare you?
Mm. Did you pick up on that?
I did not pick up on that, but that's what it sounds like.
It was tough.
This
the rest of it is very like, I start the song. No, you start the song. And then it's like, yeah, you're fat. Like I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, that you shouldn't comment on people's bodies.
No, you should not. John, whatever.
Yeah. Is his name John?
I don't know.
I don't know. I wrote Joe.
This sounds like One December Night with none of the pathos and all of the Reba.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm tracking.
So we get some publicity photos where they're kind of dressed up like sexy Santa, sexy Mrs. Claus.
I did not like that for the record. I did not like this at all.
That's like very Lifetime. Like, let's make them sexy.
It was not what I wanted.
Everyone's clamoring
early in the morning.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it's not like overtly, like he doesn't have his shirt off like I would normally want. He's just like a little like non-conventional Santa and Mrs. Claus. And then they do like little sexy poses together because Belle is like trying to like plan the photo shoot. And she's like, can you guys like cuddle or whatever.
Again, very one December night, but like sexy.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, like after the photo shoot, they get in a fight, of course, and they like run away. And then Belle is talking to Tony and she's like explaining what happened, why they broke up in the first place. And this, Dan, you're just going to love this. Okay. So Joe won a Grammy for Song of the Year. Okay. He won Song of the Year
for writing or singing.
I guess writing probably. Yeah. He won the Grammy. He got up on stage. He thanked everyone except for Reba. So when Reba won her Album of the Year Grammy, of course, right after that, she did not thank him. And then they were dead to each other.
These two are a singing duo, but they won individual awards while they were still together.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think they separated before the Grammy incident, but the Grammy incident was the last straw.
Sealed it.
So he went off and he started writing. I think they dropped Dolly's name at one point They do some other things. Like he became this prolific writer, won this Grammy, didn't thank Reba. And then Reba, once she started her solo thing,
won a Grammy for Album of the Year.
Yes, exactly right. Didn't thank him. Seems like but this great. Is also where we find out some pretty important information about the relationship status, isn't it?
Yes.
That they're not divorced.
What?
Yeah. They just never got around to it.
How long is this?
20
oh
plus years?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They're still married.
They're still married.
Is this like a big twist, like in the movie? Like, are you just commercial break?
It's very matter of fact.
It is very matter of fact, but it does become a plot point later on in the movie.
Yeah. It comes back.
Oh, we're going to renew some vows here. We're going to renew some Reba vows. That's what's happening.
We'll find out.
So we get a rehearsal montage. It's about time for a montage. It's like Joe and Reba, they're working on the new Christmas song. I think they might be dancing here and, you know, they're like trying to do some choreography.
Yes. It's not important, but do we ever see the choreography again? No, we sure don't. No. But they practiced it, and that's, you know, half the battle.
Yes. And Reba and Joe decided to practice their act at like a bar because he owns a bar as well. He has acts come and do like open mic night. So he gets one of the acts to perform with them. For like a practice session because they're really nervous about reuniting in front of like all of the military because it's going to be streamed around the world to the troops overseas and everything. So it's a big deal. Like
big
they
deal.
can't mess this up. It's for America.
It's for America. Okay. That's exactly right. Yes, he owns this bar. I will say Joe does give me a hard, like functioning alcoholic vibes. Like,
yeah,
my guy loves himself a drink.
That could be some of John Schneider sneaking through there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, art imitating life type of thing.
100%. But yes, he does own his own bar. And so what better place to, you know, get your feet wet with a performance than your own bar? Yeah, so like home court advantage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, and they sing this song that I've never heard of, but it's called, I think it's called Must Have Been the Mistletoe, and it's like, it must have been the mistletoe, the something snow.
So here's the thing.
It sounds great, Patrick.
Was very familiar to me. I do think it's a real song that's been out since before this movie, and it might be a Reba song.
Our commenters in the Bramble Jam Plus Double Decker Facebook group said that the song is on iTunes, but it's just Reba, John Schneider.
Well, they're talking about the original song that's at the end of this movie.
Oh, they're not talking
Must
about,
Have Been Some Mistletoe.
An original.
I think it is an original, but just not to this movie. What I'm saying is I have heard the song before, and it might actually be a real Reba song, but I could also it's just sounded familiar to me, like I've heard it before.
Huh. It was catchy. It was catchy.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I was singing it all night long. Mary,
did you know? Something like that, a little remix edition.
Hey, Mary, did you know does fit into this song? That's why it's the perfect Christmas song.
Exactly right.
It fits in everywhere. Where does it not fit in? I mean, it's just perfect.
Just slap that in, Jingle Bells. You're good to go.
Dashing through the snow. Mary, did you know?
It must have been some mistletoes by Barbara Streisand.
There you have it.
Okay, there that you go. Sense. There you go. Barbara.
Barbara.
You know. Okay.
So they're at the bar singing Must Have Been Some Mistletoe.
Thanks for bringing it back.
I'm here. It goes well. They drink some beers afterwards and they're like, man, we are awesome. And they're like, kind of like falling in love again. You know, they're like, we have great chemistry on stage. Da, da, da.
At the end of the, at the end of the song, they do this thing where they kind of look at each other and he holds up his hand and then like in a weird spot. Like,
is there glass between them?
No. And then she comes in and it's like a high five, but then the interlocking fingers type of thing.
Ooh.
It was not the type of,
I got like cringe chills. You know what I'm talking
you
about?
You know how like, I really like it when characters
hands kind of melt together.
Yeah. I didn't like that one though. Didn't like this one. Wasn't that, didn't do that for me. No.
So we have the performance jitters out of the way. Reba and Joe go to a toy store for some reason and find a magic eight ball, and they like shake it to see if the performance is going to go well. Then Reba like goes off to like look at Barbie dolls, and Joe shakes it to see if he has a chance with Reba, and the eight ball's like, no way, no way, no how.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
So no.
I love that. I was like, oh, I forgot I love a magic eight ball. But also I love that the magic eight ball is like so shady. Yeah.
I was laughing at so they ask about the daughter, whether or not the daughter's falling in love. And that was a yes. And then he asked a question about the performance, but it was not a yes or no question that he asked. It was a question that the eight ball would have no way to truly answer because it's not how the eight ball works. But that didn't stop them. Is she falling back in love with me? No way, no how. It's a great scene.
There's got to be a Mary, did you know, magic eight ball joke in there somewhere. Like some sort of, like it has to work.
Yeah, somehow. Well, you know, what you don't know is the angel came and then the angel left and Mary brought out her magic eight ball and she was like, is the angel being, is the angel
will
telling
my
the truth
child here? One day walk on water?
Uncertain.
Yeah.
Uncertain. Wait until someone sings about it.
Ask again later.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So we have a birthday party for Belle. They decorate the tree and sing happy birthday. That's lacking some harmony, Reba. Where were you with the harmony, girl?
Oh, man.
Because I am the harmonizer of happy birthday. I always do it, and it always sounds better.
It does. Listen, everybody needs that person. Yeah.
You know who does that? My dad does that. My dad is the harmony happy birthday guy.
I'm the high harmony. That no one's asking for.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad can do the high one too. Well, not that high. That's absurd. That's falsetto. That is, no one wants that. No one.
I love that you took it like to an Ariana Grande like pop at the end. Happy birthday. Love that. Perfect. Oh, well, man. All right. Next time, Lifetime, put Bran in the movie get your happy birthday harmonies.
That's okay? Exactly right. Yep. I'm red. I'm here for hire or for free. Just
I was about to say. No,
I just love singing.
You should always be paid for your work. Don't devalue yourself.
I just love that, happy birthday.
That background background pay. We got background pay for a day.
Yeah, background.
We got $108.
That's exactly right.
We're there for 13 hours. So
straight in the pocket.
So Troy gives Belle a compass for her birthday, and it's
terrible
is,
gift.
There's a reason.
There's a reason.
A story
it.
That she told about how she got lost or something like that one time, and he's like, "Dummy, here's a compass." Type.
That
of
doesn't
thing.
Make it any better.
Yeah. Well.
Well, he says it will always help you find, or it was. I will always help you find your way to me, or something romantic, and. She's like, oh, that's funny because it keeps pointing at you. And he's like, that's not how compasses work. Like, give me that. Give me that back.
You don't deserve this. Thank you.
So they all go caroling and I don't know. They get like good and wine drunk. That's what my notes say. I don't know anything. I don't have anything else about the caroling, but it happens. And then a winter storm rolls in.
Oh, no.
And y'all don't know this. I'm getting in like country like Reba, and
y'all don't know this.
Lifetime a couple years ago,
Megan.
Every movie had Megan, Winter Storm Megan. So I was like, is Winter Storm Megan back? But no, it's not. So,
you know who was back though? Jimmy Fallon references.
Oh yeah,
it's back, baby.
Jimmy Fallon references in this movie. Like at the very beginning, there's a part where Reba's like, they're like, Reba, you have to do this. And she's like, tell Jimmy Fallon to like, wait, I'm busy.
But they didn't they do that last year? Like they put in a bunch of Fallon references or something like that. And so it's a thing, I guess.
What?
I don't know what Jimmy has on the execs at Lifetime. But
good grief.
Yeah. They name drop Jimmy Fallon a lot. It was weird. Okay. So, of course, the storm knocks the power out.
Classic.
And then we get the best scene of the movie. And, Bran, you might disagree with me, but Reba having a heart-to-heart with her daughter about her love life and, like, both of their love lives while she is lighting electric candles, like, pressing the bottoms of electric candles, 50 to 100 of them all throughout the house. And Reba is just the whole conversation. Looking for that button, pressing, looking for the button, turning them on, putting them over there, grabbing another one, turning it on, pressing the button.
There was unbelievable amount of electric candles in this house.
I mean, those are expensive. The Costco candles that look like they're really flickering, mm-hmm. like you can get like a set of 5 for 50. That's like a good deal, but like to have that many,
listen, you got to spend your Grammy money somewhere.
That's right. You got to make sure you got at least 100 of them on hand at any given time.
Hey, next time I win any award,
$1,000.
I'm going to celebrate with electric candles.
That's right. The only way we know how. Yeah.
It's great. And they also like walk around with the candle like it's the olden times, like a candelabra, you know? It's like, that's not how these work. Okay. Like they're not shining so much light that they're going to light your path.
Yeah, but they are safe, and that's what matters.
Yes.
They're safe. They are fire marshal approved.
Okay? And also, Reba can clearly multitask. Heart-to-heart conversation and turning on electric candles? I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah, and she did both.
She did both. Yeah. They sing the Christmas Bell song, like Joe and Reba sing it while, like, Belle watches from like afar and she's like, oh, my parents are getting back together. Yeah. Hooray.
Yeah.
Every kid's dream, right? They're not divorced parents get back together.
That's right, man. I have to tell you, as adults, that's what they think of a lot, I'm sure.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
So it is finally the night of the snowball. Belle decides that she should take this moment to talk to Reba about getting back with Joe. She like talks to her backstage while Reba's like doing her makeup. And, you know, that's not an appropriate time to talk to a performer. If you're ever wondering, like, don't have a deep conversation right before I'm going on stage. I'm in the zone.
In the zone.
Ready to go.
In the pocket, man. Yeah, absolutely.
But Belle gets very emotional and she like starts to cry and it's like a lot of drama, but Troy or Tony, I don't remember which now because I've written two things in my synopsis. This is the problem with names. I always change the names up because
Tony,
they're all
Troy,
similar.
Whatever.
Tony, Troy, who cares? He's like, it's fine. The show must go on. Like, you relax. Like, we got this. So Reba and Joe take the stage. They perform for a sold out crowd. And it is one of those insert shots of like a stadium or something.
Now they had a pretty intense conversation the night prior and they hadn't really talked since then. So they come back on stage. They had this kind of conversation about, you know, how, you know, things have happened and we're moving on type of thing. Right. Like Reba was like, you know, it's over. We're through here basically.
Gotcha.
And now it's the night of the performance. What are we going to do? Well, we gotta go. We got to do this thing. We got to move it until we groove it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Move it till we groove it. Yeah, got it.
Yes. And before she goes on stage, she puts on her
sparkly
wedding ring.
Oh, wedding ring. Okay. I thought you were going to say sparkly dress. This is a classic Reba move. Sparkly.
Implied.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
She does have a sparkly dress on.
Fair enough.
So we get a literal, not literal, we get like practically 10 minutes of Reba performing time.
There's a commercial break in the middle of the concert.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
During the movie?
We get two songs, a commercial break, and then let's get back to some more concert time. That's how long the concert is.
I switched to her live stream in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I was like, Reba?
I should just leave you hanging with just three songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do three songs. Each song gets an outfit change, which I appreciated. I'm like, this is like an actual concert.
Wow.
You know,
is the movie still just 83 minutes long?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Because after the concert, not much happens. So,
exactly right.
That's fantastic.
During the final song, Joe.
Well, the final song is an original song that they have that they wrote.
It's available on iTunes.
Yeah. So, but this song, all throughout the movie, Joe does this thing wherever, like, there's a good line, like when they're talking, like, say something like, "Man, I feel like the lights are shining brighter this year." And he says, "That's a good line." Pulls out his book, the saying. So the night that the power went out,
the night that the lights went out on Georgia.
In Georgia.
That was there. None of you mentioned that. That had to be on purpose, right?
I don't know.
Probably. But yes. They didn't say it.
I mean, it's right there.
It's literally what happened.
They kind of, he finally like finishes this song. And this is this sweet little song. So that's the song that they're going to sing. And it's actually, I will say, really, really dang good song. I loved the song. I thought it was a delight.
I don't remember it at all.
Well, okay. It was good. It was like, something like that.
Oh, cool.
That one note.
I remember it being good, like though. That? Even I just remember it being good.
I was waiting for the mistletoe reprise. I'm like, let's bring it back.
There must have been some mistletoe.
It's not like an upbeat song, so I understand why they didn't close with that. But basically, Joe stops in the middle of his original song. He's like, whoa.
Hold
very
on.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I loved it. And I was like, what's happening? You know, like, he's like, I want to publicly apologize to Reba because I'm the worst and Reba's the best and I am terrible and Reba's great.
And then he says, guess what? I've never taken off my wedding ring. And you look at his hand and it's like, yes, you have. And then he unbuttons a button.
Oh, my gosh.
And he pulls it out. He's been wearing it as a necklace all these years.
So romantic. And he gets down on one knee and he proposes in front of the crowd. And the crowd goes wild.
They're loving
wild.
It.
And Belle is backstage with Troy or Tony, and they like kiss, and they're like, "Yes, or yes, they're getting engaged, or they're back together.
They're reengaged. They're reengaged."
There's no word for this because they're still married. So, and Reba's like, "Actually, I have my ring on too. We're so simpatico." That's exactly what she said. Simpatico.
I'd love to hear Reba say simpatico.
Yeah. And they kiss on stage and everyone applauds and that's the movie. It ends abruptly.
Yeah.
Man.
And then where the credits are going and we're all just going, there must have been some mistletoe.
And I'm not even seeing it and I'm here for it.
And Reba's on. We're watching it. It's really great. The movie is over.
Okay. All
something right. Something like that.
Yeah. And they're like, support the troops.
Support the troops. Exactly right.
Yeah.
It's support all about the troops. That's got. This is just me, just like spitballing.
Yeah,
like,
you're just running there. You know, yeah.
I haven't given it much thought.
No. Not at all.
No.
Yeah. So okay.
Boy.
On the show, we either pour it up or put a cork in it. We'll start with Dan because you didn't see the movie. Dan, what are you going to do to this movie?
I got to be honest. I feel like I have less of a grasp on the actual plot of this film than I have on either any of the ones we've discussed prior.
What do you think happened in this movie?
There's a benefit and there's a guy and a girl who both were country singers and married and they got back together at the end and her daughter finds a love interest.
Yeah, you have a great grasp on the plot.
But I'm saying I could visualize the other ones.
I see.
Aside from them singing together, I just don't, it feels like nothing happened. And I say,
it's a songwriting session, essentially.
I say that to say, I'm pouring this up because it sounds like Reba was a delight and they did what they should have done, which is out of the entire runtime, a solid 20% of it sounds like it's Reba singing. And that is what we need. If you get three songs, that's 10 minutes. You're already at 12 or 13% of the movie. Then you get Must Have Been Some Mistletoe. You get one more. Reba sings for 20 minutes of this movie. I'm here for it. I'm here for Reba singing for 20 minutes. The rest of it is inconsequential. Let's pour it on up.
There you go. All right, Bran, what are you going to do?
I absolutely loved this movie. Was an absolute delight. Reba, I'm going to binge watch the Reba show.
She's charming.
So darn charming. Yes. Like an absolute delight. And I thought Joe John was fine. I thought he was also a delight.
John Schneider?
Sure.
Yeah.
So the two of them, like, it just so fun. It was just fun watching them do this performance. And the music was really great. And so I can't ask for much more. You get a couple of good performances that I'm rooting for them. We got some good Reba music. You got Reba being Reba. Big ups for Brand. I'm pouring that sucker up.
All right. Wonderful. And I, too, am going to pour it up for this movie. So unanimous, woo! Pour it up.
It's a triple pour it up.
Our first one, I think.
I think, yeah.
Reba, you know, we knew what we were getting into. And sometimes when TV movies cast a star like a Reba, we've had Marie Osmond in the past. And, you know, you're like, okay, well, Marie Osmond will sing. No, Marie Osmond won't sing. Ugh. She'll just be there for a minute. And that's so disappointing. And I'm sure the Smokey Robinson movie with Tia, when I finish it, will be very similar. He'll show up at the very end of the movie and I'll be like, there he is. And that's it. Like, this delivered. Reba was involved with the production of the movie, I'm sure. Someone in the comments said she had music direction as well. Like, she could pick the songs. And you could tell that she knew what, from a businesswoman standpoint, what she was doing.
That's right.
So, and Lifetime is all about empowering women and giving women opportunities to make these sorts of decisions. So you have the star in the movie, which mostly is in any TV movie is from a female protagonist perspective. But Lifetime is giving them also producer, director, writing of opportunities. So this is a great example of when Lifetime gets it right, when Lifetime sticks to mission. And, you know, it speaks a lot about Reba and how she has took a music career, a sitcom. Like, she just keeps elevating and invent, like, she knows her brand.
But I mean, to your point, and I'm not seeing the movie, she does know her brand, but Hallmark did Christmas at Dollywood in 2019. That movie's a train wreck. And Dolly Parton shows up for two scenes, and Dolly Parton's incredibly charismatic and charming. She doesn't do anything. She shows up for two scenes, she cashes a check, and that's it. And Dolly's wonderful. I'd never say a thing bad about Dolly, but you just felt like they used the name to get viewers and the movie was bad, like really bad. Whereas this sounds like we got Reba. I mean, we got all the Reba we could want in this movie. And that makes me happy, even though I didn't see it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great example of the Dollywood movie. Like, because then Dolly did the Netflix movie the next year and it won a Grammy.
It won an Emmy. Emmy. That was a tough sled, though. I will say that. That movie was a tough sled. Christmas on the Square was, boy.
That was less of a TV movie and more of like a throwback to like the
variety
the TV musicals,
musical. Like, type yes. Of
that, it was like, bad. Carrie Underwood and Sound of Music type of thing.
Even Brand didn't like it. So,
dang.
That's right.
I liked the opening number, and then it quickly just got weird.
Oh, it was weird. It was a weird bit.
It was a weird bit.
But it won an Emmy, to your point. It won an Emmy. She got to do her thing.
I got to see Treat Williams sing. Which
Treat Williams, come on.
I love
the venerable Treat Williams.
Exactly right. Yes, wonderful.
Wonderful.
So I think that's it. I forget what we're doing next week.
We are doing a Christmas Village romance.
With Epstein.
That's the one we're doing next week. And then we have two more after that. We'll do the Mario Lopez and then the Melissa Joan Hart.
So we're not doing the Kirk Franklin. So
no
I can go watch the Kirk Franklin.
At my leisure. Yes, that's why I picked the Jake Epstein, because Jake Epstein's having a year at Lifetime. This is his like third or fourth Lifetime movie this year.
It's the year of the Epstein.
Got it.
Yeah. So we're going to check that out. Yeah. A little that, colonial, maybe.
That movie airs tomorrow on Lifetime. And then next week we will be here to review it.
I'm here for it.
And remember, Lifetime's putting out a new movie every single night.
Yeah.
Through Christmas.
Buckle
so
up,
they've started
Patrick.
Their December lineup. They're going. Yeah. And good on them.
It's going to be crazy.
I'm interested in those ratings.
Yeah, right.
All right. We'll be back with more episodes tomorrow. Be sure to check out Lifetime Uncorked for all of your Lifetime and, you know, Hallmark reviews because they're just so fun to read.
Great.
And until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.